Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run, your favorite program on Eagle FM. Don't worry, I locked all the doors. No one is going to budge in here and start punching my teeth out. What makes you think it's your verb? Because it's here we have a lot of verbosity. Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run on Eagle FM, your favorite radio station. And I'm here until the hour of six. The weather here in the capital is, it's playing hard to get. It's hard to tell whether it's going to bless us with a little bit of some showers. Although it did, but I'm still asking for more. It's not enough. But, I'll take what I can get. The weather is just awesome. It's a little cold, but the weather is awesome. Which brings us to today's discussion of, has nothing to do with the weather. It has everything to do with the economy. In terms of the recently appointed task forces. Now, the task forces that have that were appointed on the 8th of on the 8th of December by the president, you're looking at three, right? You have a presidential task force on health. And you're looking at a presidential task force on land and housing. That's very specific, right? Health, check. Land and housing, check. And then economic recovery. And I was like, hey, picture you and your homies, call it a surprise test. And they tell you that, we have a test of totally 20 questions. There are three of you. The teacher points at one of your friend and go like, just answer questions 1 to 5. And points at your second friend and goes like, now you just have to answer question 1 to 3. And then the teacher points at you and goes like, you answer all of them. Economic recovery. Do you realize that encompasses everything? And by everything, like literally. That means that also includes the health and land and housing advice. Their job is very simple. In theory, go out there, gather information on how to better the service in your respective, task force each line of work, and then give that advice to the president come 2026. And then we can see how we can kick it, how we can build based on that advice. Now, you gather information on health. Excellent. That's very easy. It's very streamlined. You gather information on land and housing. You may as well just call it the Director General of National Planning Commission. His opening statement for the presidential task force on housing. Just says housing. Land and housing is in same WhatsApp group. But the economic recovery one sent me going, okay, this is going to take forever. But hey, just have faith. Now, my favorite part is that from the 23rd to the 22nd, 23rd to the 22nd, no, now we're going in reverse. From the 23rd to the 24th of October, we saw the public-private public-private forum, first of its kind, actually being held. The paperwork had been in progress, and I began tracking them as far as last year. They came together and basically pointed out one very elephant in the room that the two have been dealing with for a very long time. The public sector is, the public sector is mostly, well, from, when you talk about public sector, that environment is dominated by mostly lawmakers. These are the guys that are laying the legal foundation that everything operates on. Political, economic, social, you name it. You still go to jail. The law. You get sick, you must report to the hospital. Don't just deliver a child in the middle of nowhere. We need documentations for that, you know, for that child to be given legal status. Again, hospital, you know, Ministry of Health, Ministry of Home Affairs. Now, those ones, you know, they merge on that responsibility. Now, when you say economic recovery, you know, it's like, okay, now that literally, you know, like at this point, we may as well just bring all those, health presidential task force, task force on health and task force on housing and land, bring them into that whole economic recovery basket. Because if you ask me, they're the same thing. But then it will be very broad now when you're dealing with, when you're dealing with housing from an economic standpoint. Because the question you're asking at this point is most likely how to make more money from it. But if you just streamline it in a way that it was streamlined with the designation of the Presidential Task Force on Housing, you're just talking about how can we offer affordable housing. Now, there are certain things that you don't have to be Mihe Kaumap to actually realize, because turns out the man has been analyzing or studying or basically watching the Namibian economy for about 25, 30 years. Man, I want those skills on my belt. But anyway, so the task forces were appointed. Their goal, generally, you know, their goal, basically, very simple. Report, gather information and report. Which is why I'm saying that on health, that's not, no, it's a difficult task, gathering information on health and reporting to, of all people, the president. And on land and housing, easy. In comparison to the entire economy, that one is going to be that's going to be a handful. Now, let's just get the obvious out of the way. Physical infrastructure. That's going to be in the report, that's for sure. If you look at health, for example. Procurement is just somewhere around the corner. If you look at health, for example, we want to get to the point where we have a very, we have a state of the art health for, you know, where we are receiving, you know, state of the art, health services from the public sector. You all remember the current Minister of Health pointing out, I think was that, in April, that come April, 2026, we want public health institutions to reach the level where where public officials can just walk in and not worry about, are they not going to remove my healthy tooth and live in the one that I came here to be removed? The elephant in the room that with regards to the public sector, or more like with regards to the public sector, is more often, especially in terms of service provision. Actually, there are multiple elephants in the room. Let's point at some of the obvious ones in the public sector. In the Ministry of Health, just health alone. In the public sector, in the health departments, one thing we see is that the health personnel, in terms of the health professional to patient ratio, is wide.
Dika e sibo jo kubisa na kupwe ko Shoprite. Haka na onda ndozo kiri o nene no kubisa e fudo mi pumbiwa es kukere ngashi. O harma masirega tano do kanto piko mbuta yorama original. Kotro mirong bayna kita kuno sendo mirong o wino wui. O show ok jine zin timbuero mbaka desayo real good. Kotro sire no mirong o wino wui no senda o mirong o wino wui. Ganja no kumana ushinji mogo fandi sayo kiri ko Shoprite. Virikos o mirong o mbali na kakita tu kate semba nuvo. Oko Shoprite akuke kakita. Kero tuvuruna tago ukuranda ushari ko Shoprite. Ningangei, landi ni mita tuiri mefigathano. Tara na wakamba pila koe, ngeri ongo ye wasendana e simbo njoga. Kara nukuranda ikando inji, wijinji pare kompito yoye, yoku simdana. Ithigathano, tari kuruma mirongo, mbali na gatano ka December, nufo.
Nomu, goina mu goina Shoprite. Okay, that was uncalled for. Welcome back after that short break. So, where are we? If you look at the health sector, if you want to make the health, if you want to make health provision in the public sector, make it, efficient, there are very few basic points to start from. One, how much manpower to patient do you have? In the private health sector, the patient to doctor, for example, or patient to nurse, or patient, patient to pharmacist. Let's put you on the bench for now. The patient to doctor, patient to health, patient to health professional in the private sector is reasonable enough to understand why the health services in the private sector is considered superior in comparison to that of the public sector. Because in the public sector, you can easily look at the health, those ones that are in the, health practitioners, those ones that are practicing in the public sector. You can easily look at them and go, no, these guys are not doing their job. Maybe there are a few couch potatoes. You find them in every sector. But the thing is, if you just look at the medical professional to patient ratio in the public sector, you will understand why it's more often considered sluggish. Because one dentist have to see maybe only 5 patients per day. Because more often specialists that are practicing, that you find in the public health sector are also practicing at the same time in the private sector. Maybe they have a private practice on the side. The perks of being a doctor. Very awesome. So this is one of those, stories that actually Dwight himself have told several times. How he went with a toothache. Was that a toothache, I think? To a public hospital, and he was told, we are only accepting this number of young people, this number of elderly, but if you are anywhere above this number in the queue, then may the Lord have mercy on your soul and see you tomorrow. Hopefully, see you tomorrow. And actually, lucky me, I've never had a toothache before, but I'm told it's a nightmare. Being told to go back with it is even worse. So, needless to say that, if you want to improve a sector like that, the first thing you want to look at is, infrastructure. That must be solved. And then you are looking at equipment. They also must be upgraded. And the manpower also upgraded. And then, all these upgrades, you obviously have to look at them in a sustainable way. You don't want to have new equipments today come the following year, you are too broke to keep the system sustainable. Speaking of which, there's a little bird told me, actually it was in the newspaper yesterday, for those of you that got yourself printouts, because that's where I got it from, that there's a private sector, like, really? Look, guys, when you said public-private sector collabo, this is not what we meant. There is someone that started a company, wonderful Namibian. Congratulations, started a company. And they decided to apply for medical equipment type of supply tender in the Ministry of Health. Excellent idea. That's what we want. The private sector and the public sector working together to work towards Namibia's overall development in line with NDP6. And the sustainable development goals, well, blah, blah, blah. Now, homeboy applies for a tender, gets a tender, and then looks at the money, I imagine, and decides to go, you know what? That's a lot of money to spend on me for going through the logistical nightmare of procuring these equipments from outside the country. How about I procure them indoors? Some types of syringes. Then he decides to, you know what? I'm going to... I can imagine someone went, I know a guy who knows a guy. And then, well, long story short, they ended up buying equipments that have been declared suspiciously missing from the storage of the Ministry of Health. Now, at this point, you're going, okay, hang on a second. Look at it this way. Don't worry, we'll dive in deeper into detail on Sunday. I made sure to
underline every juicy line of that story. We'll be with that story in a few. That's like a teacher, spending the whole year stealing chairs one after another, and then start a company to procure chairs for the Ministry of the Ministry of Education, and then when they give the tender, they buy the very same chairs they store. But he doesn't point out anyway that the guy that sold the medical equipment to the guy that applied and won the tender was working for the Ministry of Health. That's yet to come out. Was working for an independent company, which also went like, actually was not operating in our capacities. He was operating alone. That's actually where vicarious liability. You really have to understand what that means if you work for a company. Everywhere you go in capacity, when I'm just in this chair, I'm not Helmut. I'm Eagle FM. Everything that I screw up here, whoever I kiss here in my very gangster language, they are coming straight for Eagle FM. Now, Eagle FM now has the legal responsibility to hold me accountable. It's a whole chain of command, legal nonsense. Appointed for legal hierarchy. Sorry. Now, back to the task forces. Label a few things in this whole, especially in the opening statements of the Director General of the National Planning Commission about, the highlights of the responsibilities of these three task forces. Even though, in general, their responsibilities is to go out there and gather information on how to make I don't want to use the word discipline, but let's go with that for the lack of a better word. That is, that's in line with their task force. The health guys, for example, have to gather more information on health and report. Gather information and report. The goal is, how can we make it better when it comes to housing? How can we provide more affordable and also, housing. How can we service land much faster to allow the construction of more affordable houses even faster? Is this sustainable? Because at the end of it all, you are looking at the sustainability of it all, because you don't want to start something and then it dies a natural death. Like a lot of things we have started and also died natural death. Peugeot. Cough, cough, Peugeot. Cough, cough, Ramatex. Un momento.
Lipuranenge no wapogwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite ofoye.
Cough, cough, SME Bank.
Ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ileko shuwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijago ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
And welcome back. We continue. If you just tuned in, this is a home run with Helmut on Eagle FM, and I'm here until the hour of 6. If you are, it's home run because, this is the time when you are on your way home. If you're not burning the midnight oil, in your respective grinds. Let's take a couple of steps back before we get to these task forces. This task force appointments came as not much of a surprise. At least to me, I'm saying it's not much of a surprise because there was a degree of surprise then. Because Namibia hosted its first public private forum back in October. And again, the goal is how can the public and private sector come together because the legislations and everything is coming from, you know, the legislative burden. The private sector doesn't have to worry much about that, because that's, you know, that's for the public sector. That's where your parliamentarians comes in. That's where your ministers come in. Every time that they, you know, that you turn on, the National Broadcasting Television and you see, you know, people seated in a crowd-ish form, in this place called Parliament, and they are yelling a lot. Well, it turns out that's a parliamentary deliberation. Universally, we turn on in every parliamentary deliberation, that's what you see, yelling at each other. So that's them discussing how to make better laws, though they look like, you know, it's a kindergarten class without a teacher in. One thing that you, now, that's their role. How can we lay the foundation in a way that, in a way that it's not only easy for the public sector to operate on, but also for the private sector in a way that is the way that Mihai Kaumab uses is complementary, and the same is how the public and private sector can complement each other in terms of their in terms of their respective roles as we all work together towards, you know, building Namibia from where we are economically and especially economically to where we want to be 2030, that's where we want to be. NDP6, we are the finish line is getting really close. So that means, what happens when you, when you are running and that's your final race, and you are now headed to the finish line. Of course, you run faster. Otherwise, the guy behind you is gonna overtake you. Like here, he's gonna just sprint past you and become the winner. So, 23 to 24 October 2025 with the public-private forum, NAMPPF, Namibia Public-Private Forum, was held, an inaugural one, with the goal of strengthening partnership between the public and private sector and to assist and advance their common agenda. That's the analytical point of view of yours truly here. Which is job creation, and actually that's not me. That's just the UN. The International Labour Organization. That's the International Labour Organization. Yeah, that's the International Labour Organization. Now the public and private sector to assist each other to advance their common agenda, which is job creation and the inclusive growth with generally in the develop, especially in terms of developing a country towards NDP 6 goals.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%. Is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. Where are we? Now, the complementary relationship the complementary relationship requested from both the public and private sector in terms of, you know, in terms of helping, of pushing the country to achieve its NDP 6 and basically developmental economic goals, whatever, you know, whatever term that you want to go with. That's where the partly not surprised part of the appointments of this task force now came in, especially when it, especially with me, because the appointment, I know that for those of you that were listening that day, immediately after the appointment session, was complete, HD sprinted straight to the studio, and I was doing home run at the time. It joined me for about, I think it was about 5-10 minutes here, and pointed out to, it was more of a, in summary of the three task forces that were appointed. Now, while speaking to Eagle FM on this, on the task force and the, you know, their, from their mandate to like future projections of, how, you know, their different, their mandates, different roles, that's basically, you know, their mandate. And, if there are any other countries that are using this, this model of, more like, economic strategy or economic planning in terms of, a plan, because you make plans before you get to the, to the part of execution. While speaking to Eagle FM on the same subject, Mihe Kamapo from Namibia Economic Society pointed, started off very nicely, actually, because it's always important to lay the foundation, because we like to, wherever you look, we just throw the word, the words around. Task force. But, why is it important to use this, this method of developmental planning, for example? That's just, someone dropping something. That someone is me. 1,000 apologies. So. Mihe Gama points out that task forces are essential to ensure a broader input in an advisory capacity, which brings takes us back to generally the role that they are all going to play, albeit in somewhat very different ways, because you have one on health, one on economic recovery, and the other on land, land and housing. Their advisory capacity and the fact that they are composed of both public and private sector, it's even better, because the private sector guys will give their private sector point of view on housing, or their private sector point of view on health, their private sector point of view on economic recovery, and the public sector guys will also point from their public sector angle. Take for example, if a private sector guy walks in and starts saying, "No, in health we must, if we want efficient health provision all across the board in the country, both in public and private sector, we must do this and this and this." If that implementation is contradicts some existing Namibian legislations, I would actually expect the public sector guys to come in and go like, "Well, actually, as much as that works, the thing is, for us to pull that off, we'll have to revise this and this and this and this piece of legislation. Otherwise, we would end up in some serious legal trouble." And that's where, Paul Snow and James Sankwasa now comes in handy. I think now the part where this is going to be very interesting, even in terms of deliberation on these different on all the task forces, is that what's one of those things that you just have to be very basic here. What's one of those things that all these task forces are most likely to include in their recommendation and their advice to the president? Procurement is going to be a very big part of it. Because whether you're talking about housing, if you're going to service that land. If you're going to, to build these houses, procurement is going to be central to that. And we are back to square one. That square one is budgets are made available, ministries and SOEs, in public sector, in what? March. They have to follow the Procurement Act to the letter, or they will have to risk running into the ACC, James Nkwasa, of being criticized by the Office of the Auditor General. To try and make sure that they do everything by the book, they have to follow all these, all these procurement steps one by one. Otherwise, one mistake and then we suspect corruption, and then you have the guys like those ones that work in the media, like yours truly here. Once we pick it up, we start talking about it, then corruption. Next thing you know, you're answering questions to Inaba in cross-examination. Yeah, cross-examination. Direct examination, your lawyer will be doing that. Cross-examination, yeah, that's the state. So now you're answering questions. So to make sure that you don't risk meeting Mr. Inabao in that very awkward situation, you have to follow all these steps one by one. And they have been pointed out to be very sluggish. And what happens in October? Mid-term budget review. That's when you start. You have to understand that mid-term budget review. Every time I think about mid-term budget review, I picture it like when I was in high school, and this is the same thing that you go through a tertiary. When you are in the middle of writing a very spot-on answer that's going to give you the best marks, and you hear the invigilator going 5 minutes left. Then you panic and start just writing a bunch of things that makes ends up with you losing marks. Like every time I think about midterm budget review, that's the first picture that comes in my head. In my head, 5 minutes left, and you are like, man, if I had more time, I studied. I went through that question paper. I know those questions. I studied those questions. I studied those questions. I know the answer. I would have nailed that paper. But we're not given enough time. Well, it turns out that's pretty much, for the most part, what SOEs and ministries go through in terms of procurement. They're given money in March, and they, scramble to make to procure all these things that will enable them to provide the best services that they can offer. And the next thing they know, it's October. The Ministry of Finance is going 5 minutes left. And like, but I'm not done. It's left. Pens down. The money is taken back to Treasury. March redistribution. Someone should really look into that, because it's a serious headache. It's really one of the reasons why I don't want to be in public office. I'm not saying I don't want to be. If you have a very nice, small position for me, what position would that be? If you have seen Senator Kennedy, who is now, may as well just be a comedian, the American guy. Yeah, it's that guy. Senator John Kennedy. And who is this, the name of the Ugandan finance minister, I more often forget. Money, colleagues, money will come. That guy. The economy is doing wonderfully. Those guys, that's what happens when you don't laugh at a comedian's joke. They join politics and take the comedy along with them to parliament. I mean, I don't mind as long as I'm getting paid. Now, in one of his opening statement given during the appointment of the three presidential task force, the Director General of the National Planning Commission, Dr. Kairem Bwende, said to the task force on economic recovery that you are expected to provide concrete strategies, coordinated actions, and implementable recommendations that will shape Namibia's economic recovery programs. You will identify barriers, propose practical solutions, facilitate public... Jesus! You may as well just be running the country. Now, I picked that one because, well, it's very, really general. Now, imagine doing that all across sectors. You are expected to provide concrete strategies. I don't know what that means. That's a little too vague. You are expected to, again, it's general. Because the whole economic, you know, economic recovery is very general, very broad. But, well, let's see. Oh, 2026 is just around the corner. That's actually part of the problem. No, when these three task forces provide their reports as to what recommendations they've given to the executive branch, we're gonna be here. I can't wait. All of it. I didn't even think of it that way. I cannot wait for these reports of what these three task forces will gather. When the reports come out, I'll be here to have the field day. I'll be here having a good time. I'll be here having a good time. Now, the National Planning Commission, NPC Director General, pointed out that the task force, especially in reference to the task force on economic recovery, that they're expected to provide concrete strategies and coordinated actions and implementable recommendations. Don't give us, in Switzerland, this is what they are doing. First of all, they host the Bank of International Settlement. They basically host the Central Bank of all central banks. Translation, they have all the money. Oh, by the way, that's also one thing that's going to be in all the reports. You don't have to be an expert to figure that out. Yes, it can look very rosy. The question is, do you have the money to fund it? Oh, boy. That's something I should have left until the end, because now I'm discouraged to even talk about this whole thing. So, implementable recommendations that will shape Namibia's economic recovery program. Eish! Yeah. One thing I can tell you is that when those reports comes out, the English is going to be top notch. It is the implementation of what will be in the reports. That's what I'm worried about. The reports, I'm not worried about that. The advice to the president, not worried about that. The implementation, very much worried. Commercial break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
And welcome back. It's a quarter past the hour of 5, and I'm here until the hour of 6. But before we continue, let's take a live read. Ongodiva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. Boost your grade 11 NSSCO results. We are designed to help learners obtain better grade 11 NSSCO results. Intensive, practical, and teacher-led sessions. Affordable fees with flexible payment options. Subjects offered are English as a second language, Oshindonga, biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, development studies, agricultural science, geography, history, economics, business studies, entrepreneurship, and accounting. How to apply? Complete application and pay application fee of $150. And email the application form to Ongwediva Achievers Private Center at wu.edu.na. Alternatively, send your application via WhatsApp to +264 81 651 5138. For more information, contact Mr. Natangwe at +264 81 651 5138. Ngwediva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. And we continue. So, where was I? I'm not worried about the English that's going to come in the report because, I think I've gone through enough reports, both on a national, regional, aka SADC and African Union level, and global reports. The English is always spot on. Oh, up next is the ongoing anti-corruption conference in Doha. Oh, I begin to realize the same thing. The English spot on. Now, look, if you are looking for the perfect example of mosquitoes gathered around to discuss how to end malaria, that's exactly what's going on in Doha right now. I'm looking at the guys that are, that are the main speakers, the panel and everything. I'm like, really? These guys are talking about anti-corruption? Really? Well, not here to judge. I'll do that on Sunday. Not here to judge. For now. So, back to the task forces. Implementable programs is one of those things that's expected from them, especially the Economic Recovery Task Force. That will shape Namibia's economic recovery program. They will have to identify barriers, propose practical solutions. In other words, this is the goal we want, that's the goal we want to reach. These are the issues, these are the issues we have to navigate. We have to solve these problems. What are those problems? They will have to identify what problems are standing in between Namibia and achieving its economic goals in line with NDP 6. And how to navigate those issues. The good thing is that, the good doctor ends with my favorite statement. Propose solutions. Facilitate a public and private. Now, here's the thing. When you look at this from a health task force standpoint, on the other hand, you begin to see the problems. You don't have to be an expert. First of all, again, for the millionth time, infrastructure. For the millionth time, more manpower is needed. Anyone that have been to the hospital, to a public health facility, first of all, knows that, was that last year when it was revealed that the public sector only has one mammogram, the breast cancer scanning machine, just one, for the whole private sector, for the whole public sector? That was donated, I think, by the Cancer Association of Namibia. Was that in 1990 or 1991? Now, that's the first thing that pops in my head. I'm like, okay, if you want to take, for example, the cancer screening process, breast cancer screening process, if you want to make it fast, because that's what efficient service provision in the health sector would also encompass, you need more of those machines. Not one that have basically outlived its lifespan. I think it has a lifespan of about, like 20 years. I'm from 1991. I'm about to turn 35. That means that machine is going, when I was designed, they didn't design me with this lifespan in mind. But when you talk about improving service provision in the health sector, I would assume that's the first thing you'd be looking at. At some point, we ran out of health passports. I don't know if we still have those. I don't know if we still have that problem. Because the thing about the private sector guys is you just put your hands in their pocket as long as you have your medical aid card show up. They have everything in their system. We are done. Here's the medication. Goodbye. Now you have your facilities, referral hospitals. That's one of those things that we also, want to expand across the country because, we are tired of driving patients from the Zambezi region to Windhoek Central or Katutra State Hospital. We need more referral hospitals. We need more of those. Now, if you are going to build a referral hospital, those equipments and those patients are not going to attend to themselves. Otherwise, you will be looking at a health, you know, health catastrophe. You'll need medical staff. And no one is going to sit there, you know, putting in shifts for free. And we are back to money. It turns out, thereby nurses, and I think midwifes, I think we have a lot of those lying around. Sorry, guys. I have to throw you under the bus. My stepsister is one of those. She decided to take her practice. She's now in Germany. And I'm like, sis, what happened? I'm like, I found an opportunity and I took it. Like, okay, now congratulations. Brain drain much? Pretty much. Okay. And now, the painful part. Let's round it up with that. But after the break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katutura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katutura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. So National Planning Commission Director General to the Land and Housing, opening statement to the Land and Housing, you know, just some words of wisdom to the Land and Housing Task Force. We're gonna go through my favorite points, 3, 4, 7, 8, and 9. The rest, you can just read that on your own. Our ambition, our goal, I don't know. Well, man is a doctor, so give me a break. Our ambition is to increase serviced plots from 25,111 to 50,000. What's it with the Namibian and 50,000, 500,000? 50,000 jobs, 500,000 jobs, 50,000 is a serviced labor, but anyway. Our ambition is to increase serviced plots from 25,111 to 50,000 and to expand the number of houses constructed from 12,598 to 55,126 by 2030. Nice goals. Now, imagine being a member of the housing task force, and they've been told that these are the goals that we have. This is what we want to achieve. Now, what your mission? Should you choose to accept it? Actually, it goes straight to your role. Very simple. I'm like, simple? No, it's not. But anyway, by the same token, government seeks to reduce the proportion of households living in informal settlements from 28.7% to 14.35%. Oh, come on. Let's make it zero. Come on. Okay. Baby steps. Okay. Makes sense. Want to reduce the households living in informal settlements from 28.7% to 14%. Yeah. That's a good milestone. Now, the Jesus part is just my edification, of it. Ambitions. Just decided to go ambitious. Who was typing this? Ambitious targets will be achieved if we adopt bold, innovative, and practical solutions. Will be achieved if we do what? Adopt bold, innovative, and practical solutions. Now, your goal as a task force is to go out there and gather those innovative, bold, and practical solutions. Gather more information on any solutions that are bold, practical, and innovative, and bring them here. Put them in a report, hand them over to the president, and then Helmut will be talking about them on Eagle FM. About implementation, we'll talk about that later. As soon as we figure out where we're going to get the money. But don't worry, we have Namra giving a order with me guys, a headache on the field, so we can get that money. And also, we have developmental partners, and we have our revenue pools. That was three. Oh, the next one is number four. Now, in this regard, the implementation of the Flexible Land Tenure Act, that part actually to me began to sound like the Director General of the NPC was already doing the Land and Housing Task Force job. But anyway, the man went on to point out that in this regard, the implementation of the Land Tenure Act. And the acceleration of affordable housing delivery have been identified as game changers that can significantly unlock access to secure tenure and diversified housing options. We're only figuring this out now. Right. That's as obvious as someone pointing out. In the middle of a sunny day that, oh, look, there is the sun. And oh, look. The sky is blue. Don't worry. The goal is to reduce the informal settlement households from 28.7, make it 29% to 14%. Have a little faith. Yeah, of a little faith. If you are one of those that are listening and playing Thomas's. That was my English teacher's, my high school English teacher's expression for saying, you doubt us. Is that even a real English word? Hey, what the heck? So, then you skip all that and then you go to my favorite points. That's, seven. Yeah. For example, lead by example, people. Lead by example. Because you have to understand that these task forces will be operating under the watchful eye of the National Planning Commission. So, that's nice. For example, the development of apartments. Now, this is very true, on the other hand, in a lot of former Soviet countries. But anyway, for example, the development of apartments or flats with integrated amenities from shops, to healthcare facilities, recreational space, and communal services has proven effective in other jurisdictions. in other countries. In other countries. Really? Like, if you look at, one example where you see a lot of this is, is former Soviet countries and modern day Russia. You see a lot of that implementation of where you have this, and also it's the same thing that we see here also. Even though, we are implementing the way that we are, if you look at a lot of, apartment complexes, they have, a little home shop somewhere, but, maybe they have a little home shop somewhere, but they don't have a lot of these services as they are being pointed out here by the by the good National Planning Commission Director General. Before we continue, commercial break. Just a break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And while we're at it, let's take a live read. Ongwediva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. Boost your grade 11 NSSCO results. We are designed to help learners obtain better grade 11 NSSCO results. Intensive, practical, and teacher-led sessions. Affordable fees with flexible payment options. Subjects offered are English as a second language, Oshindonga, biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, development studies, agricultural science, geography, history, economics, business studies, entrepreneurship, and accounting. How to apply? Complete an application form and pay an application fee of $150. Email the application form to Ongwediva Achievers Private Centers at wu.edu.na. Alternatively, you can send your application form via WhatsApp to +264 81 651 5138. For more information, contact Mr. Natangwe at +264 81 651 5138. Ngodiva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. And back to our task force discussions. There are certain things that are going to be very obvious in terms of, anticipating what is going to be in, what is going to be in the reports. So, we're on 7. These are just, anticipation. Just let the task force do their jobs and compile reports. Don't worry, once it's compiled and it's publicized, and that's next year. That's starting from next month, we'll be counting down. So, where are we? We're on the example of the development of apartments or flats with integrated amenities from shops to healthcare facilities, recreational space, and communal service, and which has been proven, according to the good doctor, to work to be effective in other countries in terms of affordable housing. Such models are not only land efficient, but can be more affordable and easier to service. These options are worthy of our consideration as well as a recommendation to the president. That's when I was like, okay, so can imagine the task force here at this point is just going, copy and paste. But don't get me wrong, that's exactly what I would do. I'm like, worth of our consideration, like I said, lead by example. That's what the
the NPC Director General is basically doing here. Saying last, therefore, I implore the esteemed members of this task force, the Housing and Land Task Force, to interrogate all possible approaches, assess global best practices, and determine what is most viable, scalable, and appropriate for Namibia's socio-economic landscape. You know what came in my head when I saw that point? Construction material. When it comes to affordable housing, it's high time we start talking about construction material. Now, when it comes to I think it was a National Council Standing Committee pointed out, on their report on the state of Namibia's border, Namibia's borders and crossing points. They pointed out that NAMRA officials needed structures at one of Namibia Botswana borders. So that, you know, they can do their job more effectively. A company was given a tender to build prefabricated structures for NAMRA officials. Well, halfway through, they abandoned the project and decided to ask for more money, citing that they underquoted the government. Really? Quick question, who helped you do that myth? Because whoever they are, is either you are related to them, or you must fire them. What do you mean I underquoted you? Like, how's that my fault? You signed an agreement that said this is the amount of money that I'm paying you. But anyway, that's one of those public-private partnership squabble that started a little too early, if you ask me, but anyway. If we can build, if we can build prefabricated housing, if we can build structures that are from prefabricated material for NAMRA officials at the border, why can't we just, you know, explore that as an option? Because this Masenge thing, especially for the love of God, especially coastal areas, because they can't use zinc. Because seawater vapor, because of that salt that comes with it. Coastal areas, build something with zinc, it's going to rust faster than you can blink. Because of that, they use wood more often. Because, you know, they don't have to worry about, actually, at least the sun, that in a way that those of us that are in the inlands have to worry about. Now, as a result, they have always been prone to fires that wipes out, well, entire blocks and sometimes claiming lives. Now in areas like that, like the first go-to recommendation would be, honorable president, prefabricated structures. Let's start with coastal areas. Windu guys, please don't kill me. Let's start with coastal areas. Because that's where lives are literally being lost, because people are building, you know, are using very flammable building materials to build structures. Now, if there is someone from the task force, they're already taking notes. You're welcome. So proud of me. Like at this point, I may as well just be on the task force. How much are they getting paid again? On volunteer, you know what? So, scalable, we are looking for assess global best practices and determine what is most viable, scalable, and appropriate for Namibia's socio, and then comes the keyword, economic landscape. Because it's all going to come down to the money. You can say, you know what, let's build a Burj Khalifa for any Namibian. You can put that in your recommendation. Your president will be like, first of all, before we even start talking about the money, I mean, Namibia has this population that we can all fit in the Burj Khalifa hotel. So, First of all, even if we had the money, that would be a waste of money and resources. Not to mention the carbon footprint. Last one. The last part in the housing task force opening statement. Your mandate is clear. Is it though? Okay, actually, if I can see it, so can they. I mean, they are the experts in this world on this. Your mandate is clear to provide evidence-based, not scratched my head-based type of analysis. Mm. Evidence-based, practical, and implementable. Now, this word was repeated several times in this, you know, in this opening statement. Evidence-based, practical, and implementable recommendations that will accelerate increase. That will accelerate the delivery of serviced land. One, expand affordable housing opportunities. Because have you seen the housing prices? Because they are very few. Wherever you find something that's few, it will generate a demand, especially if there is a significant need for it. It will generate a demand. That demand will generate what? Will jack up the prices. That's what happens to transport services every end and beginning of the year for those that like to travel out of, especially winter. Come January, those guys that have drive seven-seaters and minibuses are having a field day, field month, field season, actually. I think it was also in the news, in one of the print media yesterday, that these guys, especially the seven seaters that are going, especially that are going to the Erongo part, you know, to the Erongo part, to the Erongo parts of Valves and Swakop, and those ones that are going to the north, they are not looking for customers. No, customers are calling this time of the year, booking seats. Name your price type of customers that they are dealing with. And then come from February till, you know, yeah, then, boy, things are gonna, but this is their time to shine. This is their time to shine. So, the shortage of housing is also contributing to the rise in housing prices and also rent prices. Why is this an important discussion to have? Oh, you know that thing that we started? As a country, you know that subsidized tertiary education. Yeah. You can imagine since tertiary educations are only, last time I checked, only found in urban areas. That means the need for housing is only going to skyrocket. When the need skyrockets, that means the demand is going to skyrocket. You know what else is going to skyrocket? The prices. Especially if you find yourself in places like those of us that live in Windhoek. A moment of silence for us. Moment of silence over. 16 minutes to the hour of 6. In a few seconds, we are going to take a short commercial break. And we'll continue on the other side. A home run with Helmed on Eagle FM. Stay tuned.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nenge lo wapungwa eva tere urikoni maondo tutoingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile.
And welcome back. What are we looking for? How to expand affordable houses? To do that, you need land. Actually, you know what I said earlier about the economic recovery task force having the most difficult job? I take that back. The housing guys, because these guys are going to be dealing with the biggest problem we have all been facing, especially with regards to housing and land redistribution. That of what? Land. Acquiring it, expensive. Servicing it, expensive. How do you want the houses to be cheap? Of course they're going to be expensive. Oh, building materials. Because we like to do our one-size-fits-all brick-and-mortar strategy. Also expensive. Because the prices that are coming from the acquisition of the land and the servicing of the land, they are all going to be factored into building material, the services. It's all going to be factored in the price. No wonder you have a two-bedroom that's costing an arm and a leg. But that statement is actually, you know, an arm and a leg. That statement is actually not true. Because an arm is, very expensive. I'm not business advice. Definitely not business advice. Not career advice either. Just in case someone begins to look at his homie's muscular arm and go like, I mean, this guy goes to the gym. I bet this arm is very, 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 very pricey on the black market. He's going to buy an arm. Organs, yeah. But not those type of organs. I don't know. Before the police that shows up and go like, we're just curious. How do you know? I was in the meme of a guy that's complaining that, you know what, I don't like society. You donate one kidney, they call you a hero. You show up with a whole cooler box of kidneys, all of a sudden they're calling the police. Like, aren't you supposed to appreciate, you know, that I'm doing the Lord's work here? Well, bottom line, when you donate a kidney, everyone is going to be like, okay, yeah, most likely that's his. But when you show up with a whole cooler box, everyone will be like, oh boy. If there are 16 kidneys in that cooler box, that means we are looking for 8 bodies. Spiritu Santo, yeah, poor souls. So, let's wrap that housing up so we can go to health. That's my favorite. I decided to leave that one for last. So, accelerate the delivery of serviced land, expand affordable housing opportunities, improve sanitation infrastructure, toilets, and drive the formalization, familiarization. That would be a terrible goal. The formalization of informal settlements. Formalization of the informal economy. Now we're talking about formalization of the informal settlement. That's a nice goal. Very nice goal. And a very important one. And coming up last, because we only have 11 minutes before I say goodbye, is that of health now. Eish! Isn't we just going to go through two of my points, just for N5. Again, by the Director General of the National Planning Commission. Also, a little bit of a recommendation-ish. Task Force, NDP6 identifies key strategies necessary to improve health outcomes. You know, the Minister of Health and the AI Ambulance. I'm pretty sure those guys are, replaying that video of the minister saying we want the AI ambulances going like, we're not gonna put that in our recommendation, are we? Like, because we need data centers and we need, rural electrification and also universal internet connectivity if we want to accomplish, to get to the goal of AI ambulances. No, not there yet. Actually, I don't want to be, AI is still under development. I don't want to be in an AI ambulance. For one, if it's voice control, my English is broken. That thing is going to be looking for British English. We're in Namibia. Thank you. And also, this is why we can't adopt AI yet. because most of the AI is trained mostly on Western models, ways of doing things. Now, John F. Kennedy Hospital, that AI will understand what that means. Now imagine being in an AI ambulance and you want that ambulance to go to Nanjokwe Hospital. Imagine being in an AI taxi and you want that taxi to take you to Mukuru Development Community High School. That AI is going to crash. The village I'm from is Tikanduko. I'm not even going to say that to any AI. Like, that thing will be like, huh? Think of what now? Try saying, you know, the name of your village to Alexa and Siri. Good luck with that. So NDP6 identifies key strategies necessary to improve health outcomes, including ensuring equitable access to healthcare services, equitable, not just access to Murima Tuse. Now, you don't need a Kavango friend for that one. You need a Zambezian friend. But actually, you need, you know, if you are going to get yourself a Kavango friend to translate that one, get a Mbukushu. Because if you go to traditional healers and you run into a Mbukushu, traditional healer, chances are very high after the end of his, session that he is going to conduct, he is going to end with Mirima Tuse. That's why I really laugh at Mbukushu traditional leaders. What do you mean Mirima Tuse? Which Mirima are talking about? Oh, okay, the traditional. Okay, fine. Because it's like if the whole thing was conducted in English, it would end with God bless you. At this point, it would be like, hey, if I wanted God to bless me, I'd be in church. I came to you because ancestor. I think Mbukushu's, seriously. I also came to learn that Mirima Tuse part is not Mbukushu. It's, I think, Los Yosuvia, somewhere there. It's from the Zambezi region. How we got it from there to bring it here, I have no idea. Like, my tribe, we need to talk. Most of our folk tales, the songs are in Nyemba. And now traditional healing, chanting ends with Mirima Tuse. So we have a combination of a little bit of Zambezi region and a little bit of Angola. Like, please don't look at our IDs. Thank you. So, moving on. Let's wrap that up. So equitable healthcare services, improving overall health outcomes, overall. That basically means all of it, including infrastructure. Yeah? I'll tell you what, infrastructure is going to be in all of them. Money is going to be in all those reports of all those three task forces, especially the by health equipments. A big deal of it. So, equitable health it's in there, yeah. Expanding health infrastructure and equipments and digitizing the health information system. Yeah, you can't put infrastructure, equipment, and digitizing all in the same, because you need infrastructure. First of all, you need infrastructure so that you can house those very expensive health equipments. Among these, ensuring equitable access has been identified as a national game changer. Now, you don't need to be an expert to figure that out. A strategic lever to unlock rapid and measurable improvement in health outcomes. You know, like longevity, propensity, especially for those with high propensity for disease. The inherited ones. Not your fault. You are just born in the wrong family. You are born with a disease that obesity that was inherited genetically, for example. That's a very painful thing, because now I'm obese because someone in my family, someone in my generation, couldn't watch their appetite. They were just eating, they were gobbling on anything they could put their hands on. Now I have to pay the price. genetics is not fair, man. I think that's... wait, that's what diabetes is all of? So someone in my family liked sugar so much, now I'm paying the price. Oh, high blood pressure. Someone in my family was a nervous wreck. Now I have to pay the price. All homeboy had to do was just gain a little bit of confidence, deal with his nerves, and problem solved. So everything that we're going through, the genes are writing it down. It's being written on a genetic level that chances are very high we can pass it down to our kids. Uh-oh. What if corruption can... We better hope corruption cannot be, is, you know, can be not be passed down genetically. Actually, if you look at the political elites across the African continent, actually the whole world, if you look at the political elite, I'm beginning to realize it's high time we label corruption as a medical condition. You know that agency we had when we were looking for a COVID-19 vaccine. We need that level of agency because we need a corruption vaccine. All right, now, just checking to make sure I don't get in trouble with marketing. It's a work thing, relax. No, I'm good. So Ellie, digital transformation. Okay, specialized from digital transformation, specialized care, and public-private coordination. This coordination, to some degree, is still going on. I mean, it's just a more and a very minute level because you have a lot of specialists that are playing on both sides of the team. They're like bisexual, but for the medical discipline. Playing for both sides, and you know, well, I do both men and women. I'm like, really? I have so many questions. I don't get into that, to trouble because I really love my salary. And also, it's not Sunday. Oh, Sunday? Oh no, Sunday we don't hold back. Now, your inputs, including the improvement action plan and the comprehensive report for the to be submitted to Her Excellency by March 2026. It's the beginning of the new financial year. By March 2026, will shape Namibia's health investment trajectory for the upcoming decade. Okay, look. Here's one thing. There are not a lot of things that these task forces will write down and recommend to the president that will be new. All three of them. There are not a lot of things that will write down that they will recommend that will be new. There are not a lot of discussions that we are going to have in March or April whenever these reports comes out that will be new. They're not. Infrastructure has already been pointed out. Money, manpower, money, commercial break.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat spice, poikis ready, even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get it without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
And welcome back. Time to wrap it up. Health? Nah. Doesn't appeal much to me. Economic recovery? That's so broad, it appeals to everyone on so many levels. But the housing one is one that is very interesting for me. Because anyone that have been to anyone that have been to Hakahana, and you have seen the Hakahana Clinic, there's this structure just right behind, you know, because you have behind the Hakahana Clinic you have this community hall, and behind that there's this structure, there this structure that are basically built from aluminium type material, like those. If we, I don't know why we haven't explored that as a way of, you know, sort of like a, working our way into the brick and mortar, you know, structure in terms of housing. But that would come in as a, that would come in very handy. And for anyone that have been to the Egyptian embassy knows that there's this security structure that you find outside, just at the entrance. That's the same type of material. That's the, you know, that's the same type of material that this, I think it's, what NGO is this? There's a, there's this NGO. I think it's the one that, there's this NGO. I think there's one that somehow works with the former first president, you know, former first lady, Monica Gengos, because I've seen, you know, Dreams type of print, you know, a print on that structure. I'm more interested in the physical structure itself. The material is very enticing to use in a structure because it's, it looks very easy to put together. But unfortunately, something that Dwight, painfully, something that Dwight liked to point out is that it's much easier for one to go to the bank and say, you know, and get a $1 million, you know, and get a loan for $1 million car than to get a loan for $1 million house. I actually have to sit with Dwight so he can explain that part, because why? Like, isn't this where these accounting guys, you know, come in now with their jargon of appreciating and depreciating assets? Like, the appreciating one, those are investments. And the depreciating ones, those ones are not investments. They're, what's that? Liabilities. Okay. And, you know, I have, I'm surrounded by a few accountants. The liabilities, like, I would actually think it's the other way around. I would assume it's the other way around, that it's much easier for you to borrow money for a house than for you to borrow money for a car. Maybe there are a lot of banking reasons, more like financial reasons in terms of, financial dealings over why that's the case. Not an expert here. I'm just saying I find it counterintuitive. Then again, why do I know? So, task forces appointed. Appointment, check. Appointment is done. By March, by the beginning of the 2026-2027 financial year, I'm assuming this report will be, these reports will be made public. Or somewhere in April, then, I don't know, so that I can just be, you know, sit here and then just go through them one by one, like we did with the, you know, like we just did with the National Planning Commission's Director General's opening statements to this, you know, during the inauguration of the, inauguration of this task forces, where they were given their respective tasks, like this is what you're going to do.
Money is going to be a significant part of that report, that's for sure. Manpower, especially for thereby health. Money is basically for all of them. For, well, economic recovery, that spells money. And also, that's also very general. But land, you know, land servicing money, land acquisition money, land servicing money, construction money. The recommendation, on the other hand, of coming up with these apartment types of that have everything within reach. Okay, I don't know how the Soviets pulled that off, but think of an apartment complex that's housing just you're looking at over 100, over 200 people, and actually more. And within reach of those apartment, of that apartment, of all those apartment complexes, you have, you have schools. You have clinics. Maybe one or two, referral hospitals also within reach. To be shared, of course, by different apartment complexes. You find a lot of that in most parts of Eastern Europe. Courtesy of the Soviets. And I think that's the model that China also have adopted. That's what we are slowly adopting. If you look at the rise in private apartment complexes, you have all these they're all fitted with playgrounds. I think you have playgrounds right there. But do they have a health facility somewhere in close proximity? Ah, yeah, right. No, they don't. I'm yet to see one that has a health facility, because I think that's where the task force on health now comes in. And also, I don't think we have a population that's big enough to basically create that level of demand because if you're going to come up with something like, with that model, you'll have to come up, you'll have to understand that you'll have to sustain it. That means for a fee. And the last thing I want is someone saying, okay, you know what, for us to afford this, let's increase the income tax. Let's increase the corporate tax. Why am I talking about corporate tax? Because I know how corporate guys think. If you increase that corporate tax, the price on all the service they offer and all the products they sell is going to increase. At the end of the day, the end consumer is going to pay the price. Shareholders will just be raking in profits. They are not taking the heat. The corporate world is savage. But that brings us to the end of today's Home Run. Until tomorrow, same time, same place, on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. Okay, unfortunately for us, tomorrow we have to talk about Qatar, Doha, and anti-corruption conference. Okay. I already have a tummy ache. But that's a problem for tomorrow. You all have a blessed one. Festive season, people, festive season, many activities, many consequences of those not thought through activities. So look both sides of the road before you cross. Drive like you don't own the road, because you don't. You own the car, and also I've been making a mistake on that. You don't own the car, the bank does. If you miss one payment, the car is gone. So you are back to golf toes or toes Yota. So fasten your seatbelt, drive safe, and keep listening. Keep listening. And stay blessed. Have a blessed evening.